Good morning. It is good to see everyone, especially those who have been traveling, able to be out with us, those that have been out with illnesses that are able to be with us. And as was mentioned earlier, we are especially thankful of those that are visiting with us that are from the area that are not members of this congregation. We appreciate you coming out and spending time with us. We hope that you will open up your Bibles with us as we study from the Word of God. Our only desire is to fulfill the things that are found in the Word of God, to live in a way that is pleasing to God. And so our studies are to come from the Word of God. And if you find that any of my studies are not coming from the Word of God, I pray that you will come to me, as Brother Dave mentioned, and let me know, because that is my desire, to only follow in the Word of God. And so I pray that you'll study with us. And if you find something in the lesson that is beneficial to you, that is helpful to you, I pray that you will have the right attitude and that you will add these things to your life, that you will grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we will strive to be obedient to His will in all that we do. We began looking a couple of weeks ago at some things that will help us in building our defenses against Satan. We began by looking at the need for daily Bible reading, the need to make it a habit in our lives, that it will help us in our lives in striving to serve the Lord. And then we looked this past week at the devil and how he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we looked at the powers of the devil, looked at how he was and how we need to guard against him. And so this morning I would like to begin looking at some further things on how we can build up our defenses against Satan and his evil forces. I'd like to begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 6. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, let's begin reading there in verse 10. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 6 uses the armor of, I would assume, a Roman soldier, since that was the time that he was living in, as a way of describing how we are to fight against the powers of this world. Folks, we need to understand that we are at war. It's not just some little spat between the devil and God. Something they can sit down and debate out and everything be fine. It's not something like that. It is a full-on battle. Until we fully understand that, we can't really go against the devil. Until we fully understand, the devil really has the advantage. Paul said there in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The devil knows that the battle is before him, and he has an intimate knowledge of all of his weapons and of everything that God has given us. We would do well to heed the words of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Christians there in Rome, in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, "The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." The time has come for us to take up our armor. There's no time left for delay. We must prepare now so that we can fight faithfully, having trained ourselves properly. Paul's description in Ephesians 6 is one that he used often when writing to Christians. And speaking of these things, he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there in verse 8, he says, "But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Paul was trying to encourage the Christians in the first century to understand the need to fight on the side of God. and that God has provided them with the weapons and the armor that they need to go out into this battle. And so we need to heed Paul's warning, and we need to join him in preparing ourselves with the garments, the armor, and the weapons that are provided by the Lord. God has provided us with the armor that is necessary for us to defeat the forces of Satan, for us to defend ourselves, but it doesn't do any good at all if we don't put it on. If you look with me in Luke chapter 12, in Luke chapter 12, beginning there in verse 35, Jesus said, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them." Jesus stressed the need to be dressed in readiness. And we need to be preparing ourselves to fight the battle that is set before us. And as I said, God has given us what we need. And so let's begin looking there in Ephesians chapter 6. And begin looking at what God has given us, Paul's instructions, and how that we should be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Unfortunately, many are stubborn and want to be able to do it themselves. They don't want to accept help from anybody. They have this pride about them that they want to be able to say, "I did it myself." And that's something we all have had at one point in time in our lives, haven't we? When we were young and everything, we were getting to an age where we could do things ourselves. We were proud of our ability to do things for ourselves. Austin's getting to the age where he can open up doors by himself and he can turn on lights by himself and everything. And so he's really happy with that, and he doesn't want any help whenever that's happening. We need to understand that no man is an island. No man can face against the devil on their own. If we try to go against the devil on our own, we are guaranteed that we will lose. And so we need to be strong in the strength of the Lord. But you see, with the strength that God supplies, we can overcome Satan. It's not all left up to us. And that was the problem with the Israelites. You go back to the time of them going into the land of Canaan. And when they first came up there out of the land of Egypt, before they had wandered, when they first came up, they sent in the 12 spies, and the 10 come out and said, "Oh, it's a land flowing of milk and honey, and it's beautiful and everything, but there are giants in the land, and there are these great walled cities." And Joshua and Caleb said, "Yeah, that's all true, but with God's help, we can do it." Joshua and Caleb understood that they could not take the land of Canaan without God, but they knew that no matter how great and mighty the cities might be and how large and how great of a fight that the Canaanites might have been, with God, they could do it. In Ephesians chapter 1, we can see what Paul says earlier in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, it says, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." It's interesting that the Apostle Paul says here that God's power is above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Do you remember what Paul said that we were fighting against? You go back to verse 12. He said, "We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Paul says, this is what we're fighting against. And you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and we see that the power of God is far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion. The strength that we have that comes from God is greater than that which we are at war against. And that's something that is necessary for us to understand, that God, if He is with us, we can do anything He has asked us to do, even defeat the forces of Satan. And so we can see the need for the strength of the Lord, that only with God's strength can we overcome Satan. We cannot do it on our own. And that's what Paul is encouraging us there in the beginning of our scripture reading in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. But God has provided us not just His strength, but He has also provided us armor that will help us in our defense against Satan. And we need to understand this armor. We need to put on this armor because it's useless having it sit over there in the corner. A lot of us might be like the rich. You ever see them go into a rich person's home, especially an older home, a castle, and what do they have? Suits of armor over against the wall, and they're there purely for decoration. And I'm afraid that many people who claim to be children of God have this armor of God sitting in some special place in their house going, look at what God has given me. And they're not putting it to use. And we need to understand that it's useless if we don't put on the armor of God. And so Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God has given us the armor. He has given us all that we need so that we can fight, so that we can defend ourselves from the fiery darts, from the battle that is before us. And so we need to put on the armor of God. And when we look at this, we need to note that there are no defense for the back. Did you see anywhere in your Bible where it said, and put on the back plate? Something, anything that will guard the back? You see, we need to understand that the child of God is one that faces the dangers and never turns his back on the devil. He's always pushing on, fighting forward, never turning in retreat. He is one of constant vigilance. And so let's begin looking at this armor that God has provided us with. And the first thing we read about is that we have girded their loins with truth. This idea of girding your loins was a preparation for long marches or battles. And the loose garments would be tied up so that their legs would be free to move comfortably in long marches or in fast marches. And the belt or the girdle was really the foundation among the pieces of the armor. It tied the clothing, it held the sword, and it supported the soldier in the battle. With the truth of God's word, we are prepared for adding the other supplements that God has given us to fight against the devil. But let's note what exactly is girded there. We can see that it is the loins that are girded. What are the loins? They are the seat of sensuality and carnal desire. And so what we see here is that the soldier of Christ is bridling or restraining himself from these sensual passions. He's restraining himself with the truth of God's word. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning there in verse 3, he said, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. During the day and time that the Apostle Paul was living, you had the professional soldier. And so here you would have the one who his only focus was serving his master. And that's the idea that Paul is trying to encourage in us, that we dedicate our lives in the service of fighting the battle that is before us. The soldier of Christ, having restrained his sensual desires, is able to move freely and is prepared for the long march against Satan and any length of battle that he might be faced with. But the next thing we look at is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covered the most vital region of the body. It covered the heart. If you get pierced to the heart, what happens? You die. You're done. And so this was a very necessary thing that we be able to quench these arrows. And so this was something to protect the heart from the dangerous swords or arrows that they were going to encounter in battle. Note once again that the protection is for the front. It's a breastplate. Oftentimes there might be some leather that would be used to hold it to you, and the back would be completely and totally bare, other than your clothing. And so once again, God is only wanting those that will go forward. Christians are in a do or die battle with Satan. There is no looking back, and God will not have any man who would turn back. If you look over in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No one after putting his hand to the plow and having looked back is fit for the kingdom of God." You wouldn't want anybody fighting in the army with you that was constantly turning around and running, would you? That you could never count on to be there in the front. That you could never count on to be there when you needed someone to help protect you. Folks, we need to understand that we are to face our battle head on. And anyone looking back will face a fate similar to that of Lot's wife. God will be displeased and they will be destroyed. And so with the righteousness that is provided by God, any of the wiles of the devil will not be able to penetrate our defenses, even his fiery darts. And we go on and we see that the next thing that is mentioned is that we are to shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The sandals worn would allow them to walk longer and over more difficult terrain than if they were bare. I am a tenderfoot. I'll not deny it. My wife can walk out across the hot pavement. She can walk across gravel. Doesn't matter. She'll just take off. She's a true Alabama girl. She'd just soon be without shoes and to be with them. Me, you see me get up in the morning, I put on my shoes. And I don't take them off until I'm either reclining in the recliner or I'm going to bed. I would be one of those soldiers who'd be wanting some of these sandals, because I would not walk very far without them. And the sandals of the Roman soldiers had these hobnails run through them so that it was kind of like modern day cleats. They would have a sure footing no matter where they were, no matter what kind of terrain they were walking on, they would have a sure footing. We need to understand that with the gospel, we are prepared for every part of our journey, even the most difficult parts. That if we have shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, there is no terrain that is too difficult. There is nothing that is too slippery. We will be able to stand firm. Did you notice the Apostle Paul saying that multiple times in our reading? Stand firm in these things. And this is what will help us, the gospel of peace. Note that these will help us to march longer in our service to God. The next thing that we read about is taking up the shield of faith. The Roman shield was about 4 feet by 2.5 feet. It covered the majority of the body. And it's interesting that when used in a formation, they had a formation called the tortoise. And when used in a formation, they could have about 16 individuals completely and totally encased to where nothing could get through. It looked something like this. You'd have 4 across and 4 back. And you would have along the front, the guys in the front holding theirs, the guys on the side holding theirs. And they were all tightly together, and the guys in the back would be holding it above. And it was said that in training, it was so strong that a chariot could be driven over the top. That's a pretty good protection, isn't it? That's essentially a human tank. And they would use this during times of siege because they could walk straight up to the gates. And even if they were pouring things out or throwing rocks down or shooting arrows at them, it was impenetrable. They were safe. The same is true with the shield of faith. With the shield of faith, we can extinguish all the fiery darts, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In other words, he can't touch us. With the shield of faith, we are completely and totally protected. In fact, with the shield of faith, it's more like the modern day force field than the shield of ancient times. We are covered all the way around from every direction. Faith is that committed conviction that quenches and knocks off temptation, fear, doubt, human reasoning, worry, lust, greed, and envy. It removes these things. And working with other Christians in a congregational setting, we can use our faith the same as these Roman soldiers did. Our faith joined together makes us an even stronger unit. But unfortunately, going back to the beginning, many want to fight on their own. They don't want the help of their brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to understand that if we're not seeking the help of God or the help of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot defeat the devil. But we can, using our shields, not only to protect ourselves, but help to protect the group as well, and help protect the weak, which is a charge that is given to us as a congregation. To hold up the hands of those that are weak, to strengthen those that have fallen. But like the others, if we fail to use our shield of faith, it is useless. It does us no good to sit up on the wall as a showpiece. And isn't that what a lot of people do? They say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But they do not do. They do not carry forth. They do not use their faith as they should. The next thing that we read about is the helmet of salvation. Like the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet covers a very vital part of the body. It covers the skull. It takes care of the head. It covers the skull against the blows of any opposing force. You see, with this piece of armor, we can hold our head high with courage, not fearing anything that can be thrown against us, knowing that our sins are forgiven. We do not have to fear or doubt whether or not we will be successful. We know that God is protecting us. However, we can voluntarily let this be set to the side. The devil cannot remove it from us, but we can voluntarily take it off and put it on a shelf and leave ourselves unprotected. Do you see the need for each and every part of this armor? And the need to put it to use, not just have it there and say, looky what I've got, but to actually use it in our service to God. You see, with salvation, we have no need to fear the devil. We have no need to fear anything, no matter how powerful the devil may appear to be. We have no need to fear because we have that hope of salvation. The next thing we notice in the armor that is provided to us is the sword of the Spirit. This is the only offensive weapon in our armory. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we read that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You ever hear a preacher talking about his sword? That's what he's talking about. And folks, it should be like our MasterCard or Visa. Never leave home without it. Always carrying the sword with us, the Word of God. If not physically, then carrying it with us in our heart. You see, with this, we can actually fight back against Satan. It's not just a defensive weapon, but one that we can send Satan packing. We can do damage to Satan. Following the example of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, when he fought the temptations that were laid before him, he fought them how? It is written. It is written. Every single time Satan would throw a temptation against him. Here Jesus had been fasting out in the desert, had had nothing to eat for, was it 40 days? Can you imagine that? I can't imagine going 4 days without food. Sometimes I don't even like going 4 hours without food. And here he's gone 40 days. And Satan said, here, command these stones to be made to bread. Now that was a pretty strong temptation, wasn't it? But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was able to fight against everything that Satan threw against him with an it is written. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is able to help us give a defense against the blows of Satan. And also, we can fight back against him using the power of the gospel. However, just like a real sword, it's useless, even dangerous, if we don't know how to use it. You want to know how dangerous a sword is? Come over to my house and let Austin grab a hold of one of the wooden swords I bought for him at a Renaissance festival in Maryland. And let him start whacking at you with it. Thankfully, it's blunt. It's just wood. And usually I'm able to grab something really quick and parry his blows. But it hurts. Imagine if he had a sharp instrument running through the house, just swinging whichever way. What would happen? Well, not only would the walls be scarred and the furniture be cut, but more than likely, Anna and I would be cut, and more than likely, his hands would be cut up, if not worse. You see, we need to train ourselves with its proper use. We need to train ourselves in how to use the Word of God. This is what Paul encouraged Timothy. If you look over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Be diligent to make sure that we are accurately handling the word of truth. You can use the word of truth in an improper way, can't you? If we have to train ourselves to use it accurately, then if we don't train ourselves, then it's real easy to use it inaccurately. And that's what many people in the world are doing. They're not studying the Word of God. They're reading it. But they're not studying it, and they're using the Word of God inaccurately. And the Apostle Paul told Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God. If you look over in chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." These things are written that we can be trained in our service to God. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Once again, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, "Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all." Now just pause there for a second. Now I've never learned to sword fight. Matt, I believe, took some in college, and but when you watch what they're doing, I watch a lot of movie extras, and they oftentimes show how they'll spend months training. If they're to use a sword in a movie, they'll spend months training, just learning the various moves that are necessary for the movie, not necessarily learning really how to use it properly. And so learning to fight with the sword is something that you have to work at. You have to take pains at. And the same is true with the Word of God. We've got to take pains with these things. We need to pay close attention to ourselves and the teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Paul is telling Timothy that we need to be careful in training ourselves in how to use the armor of God. And so as a child of God, we must lay aside our cares, our concerns, our worries, the things of this world, and take up the armor that is provided by God. A soldier, when called to duty, will change from his street clothes, his secular clothing, into the battle array of whichever country he is fighting for, or whichever branch of service that he's in, if he's in the United States. He's going to take up that which has been provided for him. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we wearing the armor of God, or are we wearing the armor of Satan? Lord willing, this evening, we'll look at the rest of the things that I have in this lesson. What I want to do this evening is look at some practical applications in adding these things to our lives. But we need to look at these things that are provided to us. We need to ask ourselves, are we serving the Lord? Are we fighting the battle? Are we prepared for the battle? Do we have these things in our lives? Have we girded our loins with truth? Have we prepared ourselves for the battle that is before us? Have we taken up the breastplate of righteousness, that we can be guarded against everything that Satan can throw against us? That our heart, and what does the heart usually mean in the Bible? The intellect, the will of man. And so the breastplate of righteousness is there to protect our will, that we will only serve the Lord. Have you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Are you prepared for the journey that is set before you in preaching and teaching the Word of God, in living as God would have you to live, in being able to face sure-footedly anything that you may have to cross, knowing that with God you will never stumble. That's the purpose of that, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Have you taken up the shield of faith? That faith which can protect us from all things. That no matter what somebody might tell us, we know God is with us. No matter how dark and dismal the life might be, no matter how alone we might feel that we are, we know that God is with us because we believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently serve Him. Have you taken up the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of salvation? If you have not obeyed the gospel, then the helmet of salvation is not yours. That hope of eternal life is not to be found in your life. But you can receive it. God will give you the armor if you will but lay down your own life and go in active service to Him. And the opportunity is given to you this day to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that God sent Him down to this earth to live a mortal life? To suffer the temptations of a mortal man? To face all things that we are faced with and do it without sinning? Do you believe that because of that perfect life, He was the only sacrifice that was available for us? And that He went as a willing sacrifice to die upon the cross, taking our sins upon Him, so that we can be forgiven of the things that are wrong in our lives. Do you believe these things? If you do, then come forward and confess your belief. Repent of your sins and be buried in baptism, striving to serve the Lord, taking up this armor and fighting the battle. God is prepared for you. But perhaps you've obeyed the gospel, but you have not remained faithful. You've laid aside the armor that is there given to you, and Satan has had the advantage. God will welcome you back into the fold if you'll but repent of your sins and return to Him this day as we stand and as we sing.